I'll praise you in the storm. Do you think it's possible to praise God in the midst of the storm? You know, we're starting a new series. It's called Deep. And we're going to be kind of hitting high seas and looking at some of the deep blue passages in Scripture, the sea stories in Scripture. And I think they've got some deep truths in them. If you get below the surface of the story, today we're looking at storms. A perfect storm, I don't know if you remember when the movie came out, but it's an expression. It's an expression that describes an event where a combination of circumstances occur, and together they create this unusual magnitude of just intensity. And so when these storms converge in life, they get your full attention, don't they? Today we're looking at a famous story. Many of you have heard it, maybe read it several times. Jesus and the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee, and real quick, everything changes, and they're in the midst of this storm. It overtakes them. And I think that's how it is in life. You know, you're going along, everything's fine, and then storms hit. And if you get beneath the surface of the storm, there's a thing called worry. In fact, some of you today came in and you're worried. You know, in fact, how many of you are worrying about something? You're worried I'm going to ask you to raise your hand or something. You know, but we all have our things where we worry, where the waters in life are churning. Maybe the winds are building. And worry can overwhelm you at a point. And so let's dive into our story. Let's see what we can learn about storms and about worry, because the two kind of go hand in hand. Scripture says this. Matthew writes, says, when he got in the boat, Jesus and his disciples followed him, and suddenly a violent storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was being covered by the waves, but Jesus was sleeping. In the story, on the surface of the water, we got a boat. It's in a violent storm, and so the boat is being overtaken by waves, and inside the boat, the disciples are coming undone. And the fact is that I think we can identify with these guys. I mean, the disciples are in the storm. They're anxious and they're afraid. We worry, don't we? You get a storm in your life, we get anxious, we get on edge, we begin to worry because we're facing something that was unexpected. I mean, we may have saw it coming, we may not have saw it coming, but the fact is we're in a storm, and suddenly you begin to worry about things. The Sea of Galilee, geographically, is in a storm center. The fact is the sea sets in such a way, it's 700 feet below sea level. It is the lowest freshwater sea on the planet. The Dead Sea is the lowest sea. But it's salt water. So you got the Sea of Galilee. It's surrounded by mountains. Some of the mountains are almost 2,000 feet high. And so you've got the cold air, the cool air up in the mountains, and you've got the tropical air that's down on the sea. And so when those two things come together, and they happen often, one moment the sky's clear, and then boom, you're in a storm. And many times, there'll be more than one storm, and when they converge, things can get very violent on that sea. That's how the storms of life are, aren't they? Many times, we see them, or they hit unexpected. It's kind of a mix. Sometimes, the storms begin to converge. In fact, some of you are battling numerous storms today. And so, you've got multiple storms. Sometimes it's one storm after another. And as they begin to happen, the second storm's a little harder to deal with. But that's how it is with storms in life, isn't it? The circumstances in our life, They wash over us sometimes. In fact, the waves, they become overwhelming. And what happens? You get anxious, get afraid. Some of you today would say, you know what? It has been a season of storms. It's one after another after another. You're wondering, are they gonna stop? See, the storms keep coming. The waves keep crashing. And we worry even more. And I think somehow, in our heart of hearts, we think that if we worry, then maybe we could keep that next storm from hitting. See, not only are the disciples worried about the storm, but they're worried about the waves. I mean, the waves are coming into the boat, and it's starting to wear them down. And in life, we worry, don't we? We worry not just because of the storm, but the things that are hitting us, they're wearing us down. They overwhelm us in life. And so the disciples, they look out, they see the storm, on the horizon. That kind of undoes them. And then you got the waves. The waves are overwhelming them. They're coming in the boat, and they're getting knocked around. And I think about it, these guys are fishermen. In fact, many of them had been on the Sea of Galilee most of their life. And so they knew this was a serious storm that they were in. I think in our lives, many times, we know that the storm's serious. We see it coming. We know. I mean, we start bracing ourselves for the storm. And the waves start coming into the boat of our lives, and things are crashing in, and they overwhelm us. And I'll be honest, it's not always bad things that overwhelm us. Some of you are overwhelmed today, and life's going pretty good, but you're overwhelmed by a lot of things in life. I mean, we worry when we get overwhelmed. Some of you, you have so much stuff to do that if one thing does not go the way you planned, it's going to be a wave that hits your life. It's going to be wave after wave, and it will beat you down, and it will wear you out. Anybody wore out today? Because you got so much stuff to do. And that's when the storm gets intense, when you feel like, okay, I'm overwhelmed, I don't know what to do. And there's something else I noticed when I was reading. I've read this story so many times, but it hit me that the disciples are worried because of the vessel they're in. See, they're out on the sea. They're in a little boat, and it's a big storm. And so the storm hits, and they're afraid. I think in life, the storm hits. You ever feel like you're on a little boat in the middle of a storm? All of a sudden, you look at things and you realize my boat is not adequate to deal with what I got to deal with. You look at your life and you assess things and you go, uh-oh. I don't have a strong enough craft to make it through. It's a moment of realization. I've had that moment many times in my life. I always loved the movie Knight's Tale. Anybody like Knight's Tale? I like that movie. There's a point, the guy's down on his back. He's been knocked silly, and he's laying there, and they go, "You've been weighed, you've been measured, and you absolutely, help me if you know it, have been found wanting." And I thought, that's how it is in life. You ever had that moment? You look at your life and things are happening and you're wanting. You realize you don't have what it takes. You're down for the count. The disciples, they're worried. They're worried because they're out on the Sea of the Galilee in a little boat. But I wonder if the disciples had been on a cruise liner, how many of you think they'd been worried then? Probably not. They probably wouldn't have been worried at all. But these guys freak out because the boat's little and the storm's big, and they realize it's insufficient for dealing with this storm. I mean, have you ever been there in your life where a situation hits and you realize that you're wanting? You realize that you're in trouble. You realize that your finances aren't going to get you through. You don't have enough money to make it. You realize you don't have the strength to face whatever the storm is in your life. And you realize that you don't have enough of whatever it is. And what happens? You start worrying, don't you? And here's the bottom line. Everyone here, at some point in your life, there will be a storm in your life and you will be overwhelmed. You will realize upon quick assessment that you do not have the resources, whatever that may be, to withstand what you got to face. And you will find yourself wanting in that moment. It's a fact of life. See, the storm's raging. The disciples are at a point, they're panicking. They're looking around, and Jesus is sleeping. You ever been in a storm and you felt alone in that moment? You feel all alone? I mean, that's another reason we worry, I think. The storms are raging. The waves are crashing. The little boat that the disciples are in, they're getting beaten up. They're wearing down. The disciples are freaking out, and Jesus is taking a nap. And I'm sure Jesus was tired. I'm sure he was tired. He'd been ministering to thousands of people that day. I'm sure he was physically tired, but the reason he's sleeping, the reason he's sleeping so soundly and securely is he's secure in his faith. He's secure in his Father in heaven. I mean, can you picture that situation? The storm's getting worse. The waves are crashing on the deck, probably knocking them around a little bit. If I'd have been on the boat, I'd have been watching Jesus, thinking, okay, he'll wake up. This gets bad enough. He'll wake up. It's getting really bad. He's not waking up. And even with all the noise and the storm, imagine the sound, their panic. They're probably talking to each other. This is bad. This is really bad. I think they waited as long as they could possibly wait. I think they tried to handle the situation on their own. They tried to talk each other down. Yeah, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. It's going to slow down here in a minute. You know, it'll quit blowing so hard. The waves will quit coming. Some of you today are going through struggles. And you're going through situations. And the fact is, if you were to tell someone, you'd go, it is getting worse and worse and worse. It's not getting better. In fact, some of you keep glancing to God. You know, you keep glancing in a prayer once in a while. You know, reading your Bible, coming to church. You keep glancing. And you want to go, do you see what's going on, God? Do you see what's happening in my life? Do you see the storm I'm in? Do you care? The fact is that worry grows in you when you have a suspicion that nobody cares but you. You feel alone. Here's something I believe. The longer you've been in church, I think it's harder to admit that there are times in your life where you thought, God, why don't you do something? I mean, sometimes we're in that storm. Waves are getting higher, getting more violent. Things are hitting harder. And if you were honest, you feel like Jesus is sleeping on you. I mean, maybe you won't admit it. But there's a piece of you that wants to go over and kind of shake him. You go, Jesus, don't you see? Don't you see what's going on here? Don't you see what's happening with my kids? Don't you see what's going on in my job? God, don't you see I'm struggling financially? I'm struggling in my marriage. Do you see? Do you care? You ever been there? I mean, how do you keep from worrying? How do you keep from worrying when God doesn't answer immediately? How do you keep from worrying when there's time between help, please help, and getting an answer? See, I think sometimes you feel like God just isn't there. Now, he is there, but the fact is, that's how you feel in that moment. You feel alone because he hasn't answered yet. Because you feel like he's not put his power to whatever's going on. I mean, what do you do? Well, I've learned something that doesn't help are like cliches. Christians are good at giving cliches. You're in the middle of a storm and someone goes, "Don't worry, be happy." Right? I mean, I could sing for you. I won't, but I could sing for you and tell you tomorrow will be a better day. But that won't work, will it? I could give you statistics, but that won't help. I mean, statistics say 92% of everything that we worry about will never happen. It's the 8% that we need to worry about. Now you got something to worry about, right? I could even point out the negative effect that worry has on your life. The fact is, that's not going to help you. Worry raises our blood pressure. It raises our heart rate. It messes with us physically. I could talk about, you know, what worry does to you emotionally, how it affects everyone around you, how it wears us down. It shortens your life. I could tell you all that stuff, right? But it wouldn't help you stop worrying. Why? Well, I think because we don't know what the answer is. We don't have a better answer. And I want to tell you today, there is a better answer. There's a better way to live. There's a way that reduces worry. In fact, I think it can start you moving toward a worry-free life. Scripture says this, "And they went and woke him up." Finally, they go to him. "Lord, save us. We are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" You of little faith. I mean, how do we reduce worry in our lives? Well, the first thing, you got to start asking for help. Ask God for help. They came to him. Finally, I mean, when things really got bad, really got out of control, they finally wake him up and they ask for help. You know, they're in a panic. "Lord, save us. We are perishing. We're about to drown. We're going to die here." But they waited. I mean, they waited for quite some time, apparently, before they asked for help. And I read that and I think, what are you thinking? And then I think, yeah, we do that all the time, don't we? You know, we need God's help, but we wait. "I can handle this. I'm good. I got things covered. I can do this and this and this and this, and it'll be all right. I can get through this." And we wait until we're drowning. We wait until we're in trouble. And then we're like, "God, help." Why do we wait so long? Why do we wait so long? I mean, if we would just ask early on, we wouldn't have to worry so much. I mean, why do we wait? You know, worriers, we're reluctant to ask for help. And friends, I have figured out in this life, we live in the deep waters. Oh, don't we? There's always something going on. And we need to ask God for help early on. You know, Paul writes this. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. In the deep waters of life, again, I think we live there all the time, we're to ask God for help. Some of you need to ask God for help today. You know, thank him for what he's done. Praise God in the storm. It's possible. There's a way to defeat worry in our lives. It's how we keep the storm that's outside from getting in here. That's when a storm's a storm. I mean, some of you are thinking, well, I've tried that. I've talked to God, but I'm still worrying. Well, friends, I want to challenge you to dig a little bit deeper. See, there's some directions here for us in life. It's a little bit like if you had a headache and you said, hey, you got anything for a headache? And I give you some aspirin. And so you take it home and you put it under your pillow and you sleep on it. Or you put it in your bath water, dissolve, you know, light some candles and just relax in it. It wouldn't help you, would it? You go, that's stupid. We know you don't do that with aspirin. Well, friends, there's some simple directions here for prayer that we need to apply in our lives. This is the kind of praying that can lead to a life, or it will reduce the worry in your life. It says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. The more you pray, the less you worry. The more you pray, what? The less you worry. The more you pray, the less you worry. That's a fact. I want you to imagine I had a scale here on the stage. And so over here where I'm at, we pray about nothing. We're not praying. Mm-mm. But on the other end, I pray about everything. Here's the deal. Each step you take toward that side, to move from here to there, each step you take will reduce worry in your life. Some of you, when you have a crisis, that's the only time you pray, but you pray when there's a crisis. And so you live here. Some of you, when you have a big decision, like a career change, let's say, you pray. You know, maybe something's going on with your kids, and when it gets really bad, you pray for your kids. See, we're moving here. Some of you maybe pray on a pretty regular basis about things going on in your life. Again, it's another step. And so you pray, and you keep moving forward. Some of you pray on a daily basis. Something's happening. You're like, God, what do you want me to do? See, we keep moving. But friends, each step you take along here, it helps reduce worry. And the fact is, I'm not going to go from here to there overnight. I'm talking about building a life on prayer, where you pray on a consistent basis. It's building your life on this. You know, making it a foundation in your life so that you can move from there to there. I mean, it's just, it's important. It's how you get a handle on worry in your life. Bottom line, build your life on prayer. Build your life on prayer. It says, tell God what you need. Tell him what's bothering you. Yes, he already knows. In fact, he probably knows it better than you do. But he wants you to ask. And here's the deal. God has all the time in the world for you. So you can be specific. You can go into detail. Some of you, you just got to talk it out. But talk to God. What you find as you talk to God, you begin to move from here. Again, you begin to move toward having less worry in your life. And then thank him for all he's done. You say, well, he hasn't done anything yet on this. Praise him for being God. Praise him for what he's done in the past. Praise him and thank him, because when you praise God, you recognize and you begin to embed in your life how faithful God has been. It reminds you that God's faithful. It calms your spirit. It reminds us that God has the power to do what he needs to do. It reminds us of the faithfulness of God throughout history. Paul goes on, and this is the next verse after he's told us how to pray. He says, if you do these things, pray to God, forget about, let things go, ask him, tell him what you need, praise him. It says this, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, it is possible to experience peace even in a storm, even in that storm. I mean, when you're in the storm, one of the things you have to do is examine your fears. We all have them. Worry always grows out of our fears. The things we worry about in life are rooted in the things that we fear. See, fear's a component. We all deal with it. Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. One of the most repeated phrases in Scripture is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's a command. God said it many times. You read through Scripture, many of the heroes of faith, God said that, or the angels said that to them. You know, people like Abraham and Moses, Joshua. You just the Christmas story alone, over and over, you got Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. Do not be afraid. I find it very interesting when the angels come to say Jesus has been born, they're announcing something of great joy, and initially fear is what kicks in. That's why they say, don't be afraid. It's not uncommon for fear to kick in when there's a change in life. We fear. When there's something new, we fear. When there's something we don't understand, we definitely fear in those moments. But we need to understand what it is we fear. You know, we need to be able to put our finger on it and go, that's my fear. I mean, if you want to find peace, you got to identify the fear. I would challenge you, something very practical you can do. You know, this week, you just sit down, get a piece of paper, put it into two columns. And in that first column, just go, my fears at the top. And then write them down. Write them down. I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid I won't be able to pay the bills this month. I'm afraid my kids are making a really bad mistake. Whatever. Write down your fears. Write them down so you can see them. Many times, our fears actually look bigger than they really are. And that's why you got to get them down so you can look at it and go, okay, that's what I'm afraid of. Then in the other column, write, what if? In other words, what if the fear happens, the thing that you're fearing? You know, if you're afraid you might not be able to pay your bills this month, then write down, what if that happens? What if? Well, I may lose my house. I may lose my car. But it hasn't happened yet. See, it'll get you thinking, I still got my family. I still got God. It's not over yet. But it helps you get perspective. See, I believe when you identify your fears, you begin to sort them out, kind of separate your fears, the fact from fiction and all that. When you physically have to write it and look at it, it helps you kind of zero in on it. All right? The disciples are in the boat. The disciples think they're going to drown. They think the boat's going down. These guys are in the boat with the one that walked on water. They've seen Jesus perform all these miracles. But what if the boat did sink? Well, I'm thinking if it had sunk, there would have been a different miracle, and we'd be talking about something very different today. But even if the greatest fear happens, God's still with me. Nothing can change that fact. There's nothing that can change that fact. But I believe you got to face your fears if you're going to get a handle on it. And what you do in light of those fears is begin to increase your faith. This is when faith gets deep. And I'm not saying that you worry because you don't have enough faith. I'm not saying that to you. Jesus is saying that we worry, me included, because we don't have enough faith. Why are we afraid? Jesus says, why are you afraid? You of little faith. Friends, if you're going to decrease your worry, you got to increase your faith. Jesus said one time, he was talking to a bunch of people. I think he was looking at them. He could see worry all over in their lives. He says, but if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. See, we think worry keeps our boat afloat. We think worry keeps our family okay. We think worry will keep our job safe or whatever. Jesus is looking at the field that day. He's looking at the flowers and the grass, and he says, no one worries about them. But God takes care of them. Why so little faith? Do you not think God will do more for you? I mean, that's his point. Nobody was worrying about the flowers, but they were okay. See, the same thing that causes you to worry, that thing that you're worried about today, that circumstance, that situation, it also can increase your faith. You know, I can't make it through. I don't have enough. I'm in trouble. This is really bad. I don't know what I'm going to do. You can worry. You can do that. Or you can turn to God in those times. See, the same situation, it's just a different response. The same situation, but it's looking to God now instead. A God who is more than capable. A God that has enough. A God that has the resources. A God that has the power. Friends, I believe in him. I believe he's capable of doing whatever it is that needs to be done. This should be good news. If you're a worrier today, the good news is you can be a great person of faith. See, you just shift. You look over the bow in your life. You see the storm coming. Maybe you're in the middle of it. You see the situation. But what if instead of worrying, what if instead of putting your faith in the storm and all the damage that it could do, what if you put your faith in God in advance? What if you turn to God? What if instead of worrying and freaking everybody out in your family, what if instead of doing that, what if you increased your faith and it, that would increase their faith. I mean, how different would your life be? That's the kind of faith that has deep implications in life. See, instead of focusing on the problem, I'm not saying ignore the problem, but instead of focusing on the problem, you focus on God and you look to God in your life. Because here's where it shifts. When you realize he is in control. He's in control. You know, the disciples are in the boat. They're afraid. They're worried. They're freaking out. They're sure that they're going to go down. They wake Jesus up. And Jesus is kind of groggy. He's been sleeping for a little bit. And so can you picture this? He's just got woke up. There's a storm going on. And Jesus says, "You have little faith. Why are you afraid?" And I think there was probably a long pause there. And then Scripture says he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Then maybe Jesus went back to sleep. Don't know. But apparently, what had just happened, I mean, they'd witnessed a miracle. It sparked a conversation. And they probably talked about it the rest of that day, maybe for days on end. It says the men in the boat were amazed and said, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Friends, that's a deep question right there. Who is this? That is a defining question. Who is this? And the answer to that question will determine whether you live in fear, whether you live with a lot of worry in your life, with high levels of anxiety, or if you live with peace in the midst of a storm. Who is this? Who is it? It's the one that spoke and the winds and the waves obeyed. I mean, it's the one that created the world and created the seas. It's the one that's in control. That's who it is. And friends, when you get that, it changes how you live. First Chronicles says, "Lord, you are great and powerful. You have glory, victory, and honor. Everything in heaven and on earth belongs to you. The kingdom belongs to you. Lord, you are the ruler over what? Everything. He's the ruler over everything in this world, everything in this life, everything that'll ever happen, everything that's to come. He is the ruler. He's in control. He controls absolutely everything. And when you finally grasp that, when you own that, when you accept that, it reduces the worry in your life. Do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying life will always go the way we want it to go, but it reduces the worry and it reduces the fear because you realize nothing's impossible for God. He can do whatever he wants to do. And here's the deep truth in this. That area of your life where you worry the most is the same area that you have not recognized that God's in control. You worried about your marriage? You worried about your family? Well, ask yourself, who's the head of the house? Who have you given control to? You worried about money? Then ask yourself, who's in control? Who's first in that area of your life? You worried about the future? Well, I'd ask you, who do you think is in control? You or God? You worried about safety? Who are you trusting for your security? Friends, when you trust God, when you trust God with absolutely everything in your life, as you turn that stuff over and say, you know what, you're in control. I don't get it. This is painful. This is tough. But as you trust God, you'll find your worry decreases in your life. But it's a question. Who is in control? And the answer to that will determine the kind of life you lead. 1 Peter says, give all your worries to him because he cares for you. Again, the one that spoke to the sea and it became. The one that said, let there be light, and there was light. The one that said to the storm, be still, and it bowed down to him. That's the one that cares for you. That's the one who's in control. And friends, I'll tell you, he absolutely, absolutely can be trusted. Absolutely. Let's bow in a word of prayer together. God, I know there's some storms out there today. Things are raging. God, I know there are some people that are worn and tired, afraid. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would just whisper that they'd find some peace in the midst of the storm. God, that they would turn to you and hold tight. And God, you never promised that everything would turn out the way we want it to turn out. But I'm absolutely positive that you're in control. God, we lay these storms at your feet today. And God, I pray that you'd pull brothers and sisters alongside those individuals. And God, there are many of us here today that we'd give testimony to your amazing power, your amazing grace, the storms you've seen us through, the ones that you've performed miracles, the ones you have stood up and said, peace be still. And God, the ones that didn't turn out the way we wanted, but that you saw us through. God, we praise you for your power. We praise you for your faithfulness. And God, we thank you that we're never alone. That you're with us in the storms. We give you the glory. We give you the praise this day and every day. And God's people said,